Rock Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of tonight, Rock Pop travels to the Jackson Army Air Base in Jackson, Mississippi. And here are your two Rock Poppers, Park Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Jackson, Mississippi.
Boy, folks, in just a few minutes, Warren and I are going to talk to some Netherlands flyers. One of them lived under German occupation for a year and a half.
Yes, and another was actually captured by the Japs.
And one who sank several Jap warships in the Makassar Straits. And all these men have gone through harrowing, nightmarish experiences, but they escaped and are now here learning to fly our newest airplane. But before talking with them, here's a man that we want you to meet. He's an officer who wears the wings of the United States Air Forces. He's the base operations officer here at Jackson Army Air Base in the Southeast Training Center of the Army Air Forces Flying Command. Folks, from New York City, Major Martin S. Troop. Major, I noticed that you're wearing a World War ribbon there.
Yes, I am.
Well, you...
I served as a... instructor at the, one of the schools.
Back in the old days?
Back in the old days.
Well, tell me, what is this Jackson Air Base? What's it for?
The Jackson Air Base is a school for... a specialized school for Dutch flyers who, came here, escaped from Holland and the Dutch East Indies.
Uh-huh. And what are they training for?
They're training for bombardiers and fighter pilots.
And how about the instructors?
The instructors are Dutch instructors who have served in the war at Singapore and were fortunate enough to get away and come here.
Men who really know what it's all about, huh?
They sure do.
Major, you probably know our Netherlands friends about as well as anybody around here, not better. I'd like you to tell us a little something about them. People like them pretty well?
They like them very much. They're a very courageous, gallant young band of men who come here to augment their training and try and face the Japs once again.
How about some other qualities? Can you, you know them, so just go in and just give us the picture of these men that we're going to talk to in a minute.
They're very charming, dignified, and courageous. Lot of young men. Eager and raring to go.
Uh-huh. How do they feel about the job ahead of them?
They're very anxious to get into the fray. And to avenge the wrongs that have been done them.
They do have that quiet determination, do they?
They certainly have.
And how's the morale?
The morale is very, very high. We have Colonel Foster here, who just returned from Alaska, and he sets a very fine example for the officers on the base.
Well, Major, thanks for that introduction to our friends, and in a moment we'll be talking to them. But first of all, we've got a couple of presents here for you. We thought you'd enjoy a year's subscription to Esquire, a man's magazine, you know. Or would you, Major? And second, Major. And next, I know you'll enjoy this combination record player and radio. And thank you very much. Now, friends, a bit about Bomo Seltzer here, so that we won't interrupt the thrilling stories of our Netherlands friends.
Well, say, Parks, let me interrupt, will you?
Yeah.
She's coming around the bend, she is.
Who is?
Why, our own educated box pop train. You can't mistake that whistle.
And folks, when our Vox Pop train says fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer, she's really talking. You know yourself how often a common sick headache's liable to upset your stomach, get your nerves on edge. So why take a preparation that may only help relieve the pain when you can get Bromo Seltzer, the product millions use because it acts these three ways.
Quick relief from headache pain.
That's one.
Fast help for jumpy nerves.
That's two.
Quick help for upset stomach.
That's three. So don't be satisfied with something that does less for you. When a common sick headache has you feeling miserable, get three-way relief with tried and true Bromo Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. For frequent or persistent headaches, see your doctor. for common sick headaches, do as our Vox Pop train says.
Fight headaches three ways.
Now, folks, we're back here in Jackson, Mississippi, and the program is coming from the City Auditorium, which we're using through the courtesy of the Jackson, Mississippi Soldier Center. And we want you to meet a young Netherlander. He's slender, has a twinkle in his eye, a native of Rotterdam who escaped from Holland after the German occupation. And he's here at the Royal Netherlands Military Flying School training for the day when he can go back and fly against the enemy. Because his family is still there, we're not going to use his real name. But when I asked him what name to use, he said, use my wife's name. So here he is, Lieutenant John Van Leary.
Lieutenant, that name Leary sounds so Irish to me. Where did you meet your wife? Here in this country?
Yes, in Fort Leavenworth, Canada.
Well, what were you doing up there? What was she doing there?
We were both in the swimming pool.
Oh, that's a good place to meet one's future wife, isn't it? But did you start right off by dunking her in the pool?
Yes, I dunked her, and she retaliated and married me.
Retaliated by marrying. She really got in there. Let's get over to Holland now. What were you doing when your country was invaded?
I was at the military academy.
Well, did you leave there after the invasion?
Well, they closed it, and I had to leave.
I see. Did you engage in any resistance, passive or otherwise?
Yes. I passed some information to the British, and I was engaged in running a newspaper.
Yeah. An underground newspaper?
Underground newspaper, yes.
Well, that's rather risky, isn't it?
Sometimes.
Well, about this information, what sort of information were you... That is, now, you know, you can tell me within the bounds of censorship what sort of information you were sending to, anyway.
Well, about troop movements and trains, ammunition dumps and reserves, all that.
Were you successful in getting that?
Well, yes, I got one big success, a blow-up big ammunition dump, the RAF.
Oh, that made you very happy.
That pleased me very much.
Well, were the secret police on your trail at any time?
Yes, it got, at last it got very hot and I evaded it.
Oh, you decided to escape. How did you get away?
Well, I walked off and took the train for 10 miles and then walked.
And then walked across the border?
Yes, I passed the corners and looked out for German patrols.
Did they catch you at all?
One time they tried and I ditched. I dove right through them, and they didn't get me then.
Then you must have run like fast.
Yes, very.
Where did you set out for?
Well, I wanted to go to England, of course, but I went to a neutral country first.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you have any trouble getting across the borders?
We tried to not to meet the Germans and... sneaked through the field and finally got there.
Good. What was the toughest part of the trip?
The toughest part was passing a mountain range to that neutral country, and there was a snowstorm and hail, and I slept in the nettles that night. And, I wore 8 sweaters, but I was cold like hell.
But you got there. You got there, and we're glad that you made it, Lieutenant. Vox Pop, we're certainly glad to talk to you tonight. And we have a couple of gifts for you from Vox Pop. A beautiful Wittenauer 15-jewel gold wristwatch. And you must like the same sort of music that I do, Lieutenant. We have 2 albums of classical records for you. Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet Overture and Rachmaninoff's Concerto No. 1 at F sharp minor. May you have much pleasure listening to them. Thank you very much and good luck to you, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
Folks, I just wish that we had television now so you could see our next Vox Papa. Somehow you like him the minute he walks up and smiles at you, because he's just got that kind of a smile. You know, I can't tell you just exactly what his name is for reasons that you'll probably know already. So just let's introduce him as Mike. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Mike, you got your friends out front out there?
So many. I see Captain Hancock
over
there.
Oh, you see friends out there, huh?
Yes.
Mike, tell me, were you ever in the homeland, Holland, motherland?
No, I have never been down there.
Why?
Well, because I was born and bred in Java.
Oh, you're a native, came from Java, right? Yes, there, huh? Well, when did you get into the Air Force?
Well, when the Germans, they captured Holland, well, that makes me mad, so I said, join the Air Force.
Yes, and you did, huh?
And I did.
That was in Java?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Because they told me, join the Air Force and see the world.
Well, were you a pilot?
No, I'm too short for a pilot.
Yeah.
But good enough, I guess, for a bombardier.
A bombardier?
Yeah.
Well, did you have some training, and did you get in a fight or what?
Oh, yeah. I have nearly finished my training when the war broke out, you know.
Yeah.
The Japanese, you want to
the
get
Japs
out.
The Japs came in?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they put me in the Air Force, see?
What's that?
Bombardiers.
Tell me about your first fight.
Well, the first time when I flew over that, what's that, convoy, about 40 ships, I didn't realize what was going on below me.
Uh-huh.
See, I just saw black smoke around me. Well, so I didn't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
Well, I just was looking. Look, and here we go, the bombs we got in on the ship.
You let the bombs loose?
Yes, the whole, my three planes, see?
Uh-huh, you let them loose in your plane,
yes,
you were the bombardier.
Yes.
What did you hit?
Well, the first time we hit a transfer ship.
Uh-huh, did you see it sink or anything?
Oh, yes, I saw this dirty fish swimming in the water, right?
So that's how it feels, is it, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about some more. Did you have some more scraps, or was that all?
Oh, no. I've been on mission about 15 times.
Tell me about another one.
Well, another one. Well, our general, he was so glad, you know, what we have done.
Yeah?
So he gives each other plane, you know, he gives a bottle of champagne.
Uh-huh.
He told my boss, he said, well, Mike, we will not open the bottle unless you have sank a cruiser.
Yes.
That was our last mission, I mean, in the street of Macassar.
I see.
So, well, we were looking. I saw an island, you know, but later on I found out it was an aircraft carrier.
It looked like an island, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
You passed over, didn't
you? Yes. So we got a cruiser.
Oh, you got a cruiser?
Yeah.
And you dropped some bombs on the cruiser?
The commanding plane, he got three bombs right on the ship.
Uh-huh.
And the left plane, he got in three just on the left side of the ship.
Yeah, and where'd yours go?
And on the right side, of course.
Yeah, I figured that's the only time. Well, how about your last fight, Mike?
Well, my last fight was not in a street of Macassar,
yeah,
but to another island, Sumatra,
uh-huh,
where we saw a convoy of 14 ships,
yeah,
you know, with two cruisers.
Yeah.
Well, so it was easy for us, you know, just drop the bombs right on the front ship so he can sail far and get sank, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the tail, you can move.
Uh-huh.
You have to wait. See?
And did you get
them? Yeah, we got them all.
Uh-huh.
Not me, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not so smart. But, I mean, the whole crew, of course.
The whole gang, of course, yeah. Mike, you love to fight.
I'm not that kind of guy, you know. I don't like to kill and that more. But what I have seen and where I have been through, see, and I love my family, I want to fight. It makes me a bloody Dutch boy.
A bloody Dutch boy.
Well, and
Mike,
I'll fight.
I know you will, and Lord help the Japs that you take out after. And luck to you wherever you go and whatever part of the world you do go into. And we want you to have something to remember us by.
First,
this Ronson combination lighter and cigarette case with a service kit to keep us in good shape all the time. And a doggone good snappy wristwatch that I think Mike will like. Thank you, Mike.
Folks, we want you to know that this gravely smiling man who has seen plenty of action against the Japs around Java, he was in the Dutch East Indies Air Force. For his heroic work, he was decorated with the Order of King William, the highest Dutch military honor, and the Dutch Distinguished Flying Cross. Lieutenant Fritz Den Ouden. The Say, Lieutenant, you must have gotten in some pretty hefty blows against the Japs to receive those decorations.
Well, I had a very good bombardier, some good air cannons, so I always brought back at least part of my ship.
Good. Well, you were flying a bomber then. Did you, did the Jap Zeros jump on you?
Oh, they certainly did, more than I liked even, but somehow we always came home.
Oh, you heard the zing of bullets plenty of times then.
Yeah, they passed right past my cheeks and between my legs, but somehow they never hit me.
That's good. Gave you a quick shave once then.
Yes, certainly did.
Did you have good hunting?
Well, we were really very lucky. Our flight of three bombers got about 11 ships in the whole campaign.
Well, how many Japs do you think you killed altogether, roughly speaking?
Well, most of them were transports, and one was presumed to be a battleship, so when we take an average of 1,000 Japs per ship, it would make up to 10,000.
10,000?
Which isn't so bad at the bottom of the sea.
No. Well, that's not half enough to suit you, is it?
Oh, no, it certainly isn't.
Well, when they took Java, it wouldn't have been very healthy for you if the Japs had captured you, would it?
No, I don't think so. That was the reason why my commanding officer sent me away in the middle of the night.
Well, how did you escape?
Well, all the planes of our squadron were shot down, but we had some transport left, and so in the middle of the night, we took off from road, as we didn't have a regular aerodrome anymore. It was bombed too much.
You mean just a road? You
just a road, that's right.
That sounds a little rugged to me. Did you have any fifth column trouble down there in Java, or did the natives fight the Japs?
Oh, they certainly did. We had a lot of cooperation, and all the natives really hated the Japs. When we sank those ships in Street McCassidy, and bought us pigs, which is money there.
They brought you pigs?
Yes, that's right. The native tribe bought us a pig, and, well, they are very valuable there. For two pigs, you can even get a wife there.
Oh. Well, listen, if you don't think pigs are valuable here, you're crazy. We may come to the point in this country where a couple of pigs will get you a good wife, too. If the natives were so friendly, they must have been pretty well governed. Just how did the Dutch handle that? Could you tell us briefly?
Well, we tried to make them independent and only help them with everything. For instance, we protected them, and only natives were allowed to buy land. Mm-hmm. And they had their own courts and so on. We tried to have them made to have them as independent as possible.
Well, now we know why the Dutch had such fine colonies.
Well, colonies is the wrong word. They are equal parts of the Dutch kingdom.
Oh, I stand corrected. Well, do you want to go back there?
I would certainly like that. First thing we have to do is get our friends there free.
Well, are any of your family there?
Yes, one of my brothers there is presumed to be a prisoner of war, and five of my wife's brothers.
Mm-hmm. Well, to a man like you, I imagine these things can't be terribly important, but we want you to have a couple of reminders from Bromo Seltzer. We have a beautiful big three-suiter wardrobe suitcase, and we know that you have admired it in a downtown store here. That is a beauty. For Mrs. Denauden, we have a white rawhide fitted weekend case with blue satin lining, and it's very, very smart. Isn't that a beauty? I think you're welcome. Thank you very much for coming to Lieutenant Denauden. All right, Bart.
Okay, Warren, and our next Vox Popo is about 6 feet three, maybe a little bit more, I don't know, but he's tall, dark, and girls, he's handsome. And he looks very competent, too, to me. Don't look around, just... He was a cadet at the Royal Military Academy at Breda, is that correct, Breda?
That's correct.
In Holland, when the Germans came in. But because some of his family are still over there, we're simply going to introduce him to you now as Cadet Sergeant Tim. Is that right? Pim.
Pim.
Pim, yes. Pim. Pim, after... You don't have to get quite so close. That microphone just can't reach to you, can it? After you escaped from Holland, you passed through England, didn't you, on your way to the United States?
Yes, I did.
Did you see any American soldiers over there?
Oh, a whole bunch of them.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, did they sort of give you any help on American slang or anything like that?
No, but they gave me a lot of telephone numbers of New York.
Just one more question along that line. Did you stay long in New York? But let's go on, Pim. That's the funny part of it. Before you escaped from Holland, though, you did live for a while under Nazi occupation?
Yes, for 1.5 years.
About. 1.5?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit what it's like to live under?
It's not much fun, though. I mean, you just live, and that's all.
Just live, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Do you know what caused to be hungry in those days?
Oh, yes, I guess.
You did?
Yes, I did.
You were hungry?
The workers.
Uh-huh.
No, well, that's...
How about the little children? Were they taken care of?
No. The mothers couldn't feed the children anymore, right?
Uh-huh.
Like they used to do it in peacetime.
Yes.
So there was about 25% of starvation among the very young children.
That bad, huh?
Yes.
Well, do you know what it was to be cold when you were there under occupation?
Yes, we had very few coal because the transportation was very bad, and lots of families stick together to get enough heat for the whole winter.
You mean they pool their coal, yeah, and a lot of families use one room or
that's
something
right.
like that?
That's right.
That's really what you call rationing, isn't it, friends? Well, how about clothing and things like that? Say clothing.
Clothing, we got about 50 points rationed clothing, and a chute cost about 38 points, so you couldn't buy anything more than a chute in a year. But
gee whiz, 50 points ration, and that's in a 6 month period?
In a 6 month period.
And a shoe cost 38 points?
Chute, yes, that's right.
Gee. In other words, you could just barely get a pair of shoes and maybe a handkerchief in a year's time out of it. Yep, I guess that's rationing. Did you have movies over there?
Yes, we had them all right, but we didn't go to them because they're all German propaganda movies. So
oh, I see.
We better stay at home and play some bridge or something.
Uh-huh. Well, how about sports?
Sports, very difficult. You couldn't get any footballs and tennis balls.
Mm-hmm.
So there were
no sports.
Yeah.
Well, did business go on about as usual after things got settled down?
No, I mean the businessman just sat behind the desk and didn't even smoke.
Just sat there, huh?
Just sat there, waiting till the war's over.
Well, I guess that's what you call sort of passive resistance in a positive way, isn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah. Well, did friends talk to each other when they got off quietly about how things were going?
No, you only talked to your very close friends, and that's about all, and then very carefully.
I guess you had to be careful. But, well, what is your training here, Pim? What are you
going to
be?
I'm going to be a flying pilot.
Oh, pilot, huh? Good. Have you got some Quislings over there in Holland? You know what Quislings?
Yes, about 5% of the population.
There are some Quislings there.
Quislings.
Well, I suppose you've got plans already made for them.
Yes, we have a day that's called Axe Day.
Axe Day?
A-X.
Oh, A-X, Axe. I know exactly what you mean, and brother, I know that it'll be well taken care of. Well, Sergeant Pim, we're happy to have had you with us. It's a pleasure. And we've got a couple of things for you. Also a Ronson combination lighter and cigarette case with that little service kit that'll keep it going. And then two more things. A nifty leather toilet kit, all oilskin lined. And here's a genuine large-size cowhide briefcase that we found out you'd like to have. Thank you very
much,
Sergeant Pim.
Here is the young man we mentioned in the beginning who was captured by the Japs and escaped. And also he was shot down by them and escaped. He's so indestructible that he's here tonight, and we're mighty glad to have him. We want you to meet ruddy, rugged Lieutenant Peter Kramaris. Lieutenant, what was this occasion of your being captured by the Japs?
Well, we had been doing some fighting over in Java after the fall of Borneo, and my squadron commander thought it would be a good idea to give me 24 hours rest. So we coming back from our leave of 24 hours, and not knowing that the Japs had landed, they had barricaded one of the roads, and before knowing that they were there, well, I had a pistol on my head, and I tell you, it's not a very nice feeling.
Well, did the Japs say, "So sorry, please"?
Well, I didn't listen very well and very carefully to what they said at that time.
What did they do to you?
Well, they took us over to their headquarters and started questioning us down there without getting very much information out of us, of course, because the difficulties of language were very pronounced.
Well, did they tie you up or throw you in a dungeon or anything?
Well, yes, I'm afraid to say they did. We've heard a lot about that fettering of prisoners, and I know how feels because they bound me together with my arms behind my back on a chair with an Australian sergeant that they were having over there and had captured at the same time.
Well, you escaped from that?
So, yeah, well, I guess so, because I'm standing here.
Yes, I know. But how in the world, that sounds like the movies. How in the world did you get away from them?
Well, in the difficult conditions, everybody is able to do something more than he is under normal conditions, I guess. And I could make my hands a little bit smaller than they usually are and got out of those bombs.
Oh, you did a Houdini, huh? Where did you... took a powder right out of the building then, did you?
Well, I don't know if any of you have ever seen Jesse Owens running in his good time, but I guess I run 100 yards faster than he did at the Olympic Games in 1936.
Well, where did you go after you got out of the building?
Well, I crossed the territory that was over there and saw a sewer line and dived into it, swam upstream until I got into a native village where the natives were very kind to me and helped me get out.
And gave you a bath, huh?
It was raining. So.
Oh. They helped you to get to your line?
Yeah, we got back to our lines. I had to report to our headquarters, of course. And there I was ordered to fly immediately with my first available opportunity to Australia.
Well, where were you shot down?
Well, that was over Australia. We had just reached the Australian coast, flying at about 4,000 feet, where we were jumped upon by about 3 Navy Zero fighters. And the transport plane, being unarmed, was, of course, easy prey for the good fighters that they had at that time.
So down you went?
Down we went, sure enough, yeah.
We're glad that you proved indestructible again, too. We hope that you'll remain as indestructible. By the way, you've nearly finished your training here?
Yes, we do.
And do you know where you're going?
I do know where we're going, but I can't tell you, I'm afraid.
But you're going into action soon?
Yeah, we're going overseas.
Well, we hope that your luck holds out all the way through. And by the way, we know that you're short of shorts and shirts and shoes. And we have a half a dozen sets of those male dainties for you. And we have the finest... we have the finest pair of brogans also that we could find in town. And for you also, we have a United States War Bond. And something special, too, for you. We at Vox Pop are really privileged to present to you, to give to General Van Oyen, your commanding officer, this check for the Queen Wilhelmina Fund. It's something that we know is close to your heart. Thank you very much, Lieutenant Peter Cremaris. Good luck.
Now, folks, I wanted to tell you about another interesting bromo-seltzer experience. A letter came to us from a woman who's never even used bromo-seltzer for the very good reason that she's never had a headache.
Well, now, wait a minute, Parks. How can she know about bromo-seltzer if she's never even tried it?
Read a letter, Warren, you'll find out.
Okay. Recently, my soldier son and I were driving back to his camp. He had a headache all morning, which gradually got worse. His stomach felt upset and his nerves were on edge. I had to take the wheel, and we stopped at a hotel in the next city. He went straight to bed, and the first thing I thought of was bromo-seltzer. I ran out to a drugstore, hurried back, and gave him a dose. And was I delighted with the results. He hadn't felt at all like eating before. But in a short time, he said, "Mom, I feel a lot better. My head is easy, my nerves are settled, and boy, I'm actually hungry."
So, folks, she went out and got him something to eat. And she winds up by saying, "Next morning, my son was well and fit again and anxious to get back to his duties at camp."
Mrs. Morris, we thank you sincerely for sharing that experience with us, and we hope all you folks will write in, telling how bromo-seltzer has helped you or your family.
And Warren and I, of course, are positive that for quick, effective relief from common sick headache, there's nothing better than bromo-seltzer, but we'd like to hear what you think about it. And folks, just before I introduce our next man, I think it's very interesting. You'd like to know that in the next issue of Saturday Evening Post, which we just saw, there's a story called The Flying Dutchman in Dixie. And when you read that story and look at those pictures, you will see some of the men whom we've talked to tonight. You'll read their stories. I thought you'd be interested in knowing that. And now with me is another U.S. Airman who is fortunate, I think, in being here working with our good friends, the Netherlands Flyers. From Enfield, New Hampshire, Lieutenant Philip Tobin. Have you learned to talk Dutch yet?
No, I can't speak Dutch yet. The Dutch speak very fine English.
They really do at that. Don't you even know one little word?
Well, I wouldn't repeat it.
All right. After the show, will you tell me something about it? Tell me what your duty is here, please, Lieutenant.
Well, I'm an engineering officer for headquarters squadron and take care of some of the airplanes there.
And tell me, you've heard these men, you heard what Major Trope said in the beginning. What do you...
want to add to what he had to say about our friend, the Netherland?
Well, I'm glad that the Netherland boys are on our side.
Oh, boy, you'd hate to be a Jap in front of them, would you? Well, we are tickled to death to have had you, but I haven't got time to tell you exactly. Dave, will you bring out our gifts for the lieutenant while we go right ahead?
Look at that, Mark.
Huh? So long, folks. We have to get off the air.
Good night, everybody. We're late.
This broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our products by the United States Army Air Forces. They do not endorse any product.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when Parks and Warren visit the Admiral Farragut Academy at Toms River, New Jersey. Meantime, whenever you get a common stick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do like our Vox Pop train says and fight headaches three ways with Bromo Seltzer. Get it?
Fight headaches three ways. Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.